You're listening to a podcast from Blogging Heads TV.
Hi, Blogging Heads viewers. This is Daniel Strauss of Woodruff & Strauss, and I'm here with my co-host, Betsy Woodruff. We are not in the same city. You can see outside Betsy's window that she is in D.C. I am in New Hampshire, where it's snowing today, but the glare is kind of bad, so I close the shades. But trust me, I'm here. It is Friday, February 5th. There was a Democratic debate last night. We are less than a week out. We're only a few days out from the New Hampshire primary, and a lot of people have been dropping out. Betsy is giggling because I'm a little tired.
As you can tell, Daniel is in a great mood this morning, full of pep and vim. Blogging Heads.
Wait, is that why they call him Dr. Pepper because of a pep?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay. Maybe. Anyway, so what's up, Betsy?
Not too much. I'm in a pretty good mood. I woke up at 5:30 this morning. I've gotten to where. Can we talk about like the psychology of being a campaign reporter and the weird thing it does to your brain?
Yes.
Okay. So I was in Des Moines for the Iowa caucuses, and because of this dumb storm, I had to stay an extra night and then wake up super early to make a 6 a.m. flight. So I had to wake up at like 4:30. Maybe the second time I've done that in my life, both times in the space of about the same month. So this has been a really fun month for me. And so I did that successfully. I made it to my flight. Everything went fine. Then the next day, I got home, so I was back in D.C. And that morning, the first morning I woke up in D.C., I woke up at 3:30 a.m. in complete panic. Like, shit. I just missed my flight. Oh, my God. I don't know what my flight is. Why didn't my alarm go off? What time is it? I have to get out of here. I reach over. I remember thinking, I'm going to be stuck in Des Moines. I lunge across my bed. I turn on my lamp. I go, weird. This hotel has the same lamp as my house. Crazy. Grab my phone. Start searching through my phone for airline receipts. Panic. And then I realize, wait, I'm in D.C.
Oh, Betsy. Oh, Betsy.
It's okay. Shit.
Betsy.
So sad.
Well, I have a similar experience, and this is very recent. Last night, well, not even this morning, it was at 5, and I told my editor I would email her something this morning, and I dreamt that I emailed it. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is a dream. You haven't emailed it yet. So I got up and emailed it.
I've started having dreams where I actually see my phone screen in them.
Oh, and don't forget the diet of the campaign reporter, the glamorous diet. Yes.
Yeah.
I was at an event with two other reporters, and they just ordered like a full size pizza, and they were just devouring it without any sort of apology or any sort of like
no shame, yeah, no remorse.
No shame whatsoever. They're just like, I don't even care anymore. There's no matters. Time. I got to get in the car and drive for two. Because, like, you don't do this in pairs, right? Which I've been thinking might be more like beat cops or something.
Right,
where
yeah.
someone could drive and the other person could
make phone calls or give moral encouragement.
Or sleep. Read out loud in the car. I don't know.
Check emails.
Yes.
When I was in Iowa, and I was only there for like 2 days, but I flew in, I think it was Sunday morning. So Sunday I woke up at, I forget if I woke up at 5:30 or 4:30 on Sunday, but it was like one of those like super early mornings. And now I'm getting better at. So that's a cool new skill. But Sunday I woke up, I want to say 5, get to Reagan, the airport in D.C., get to Des Moines. As soon as I get to Des Moines, literally like sprint to my rental car. Because I had like 2 hours to make a 2 hour drive to get to the first Ted Cruz event I was supposed to cover. Sprint to my rental car, drive for 2 hours as fast as I can. I get to where the town where Ted Cruz's event is at like 5 minutes before it starts. The only thing I've eaten is like literally a piece of pizza at the airport.
Yeah.
So I go to a gas station and just, like, buy an armful of gas station food. Like, those disgusting Starbucks bottled Frappuccinos and, like, beef jerky and gross candy. And I'm just, like, sitting in my car eating beef jerky as fast as I can as I drive to a Ted Cruz thing.
And the candidates, like, I mean...
Why do I do this? This is a...
I have, in my last 2 weeks here... setting up the Manchester Bureau. That's my, that's not Politico's.
Whoa, that's awesome.
I have more than once been like, why am I doing this? What am I? Because like, I mean, but it's not easier for the candidates. Like they're the ones who are telling their aides, I'm going to yell at you tomorrow morning. I guess my Chris Christie voice. I'm going to yell at you tomorrow morning, but you have to wake me up at 4 so we can get there at 9. Do it. And so yeah, I mean they're like and like and then the aides are like getting frantic emails from me at like 12 o'clock being like, I'm writing this story to make your boss look bad. What do you have a comment? You've got 20 minutes. Go. And then the next day it's like, why aren't you nice to me? Why don't you get leak me shit? I don't understand. The whole system is insane.
It's really bad for you.
It is really bad for
you. I'm pretty sure like 90% of what I ate when I was in Iowa was food that I'd purchased at gas stations. Like when I got back, my skin was just like red and flaky and gross. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like why do I look like I have leprosy? Oh, because I've been living on beef jerky and rye chips for the last 72 hours. That would explain it.
That said, I want to do one thing though. I want to say one thing. Anytime to all reporters, my one view, this is not advice because I'm not better than anyone else. I'm far less qualified than everyone
else. This is not advice.
But like I live under the MO that anytime you can go to South Carolina, to Charleston, you go.
Okay? Definitely.
Is this oasis of wonderful food and just glorious like cityness in a vast sea of real America. All right, in all of its glory, and
a real fake America outpost.
Yeah, in a fake American outpost. All right, this will go into the Oppo files. Daniel Strauss's Charleston isn't real America. Whatever, you know.
You're gonna do so bad in the South Carolina.
I'm gonna do so bad, so bad in the South Carolina primary. It's wonderful there.
It's the best. It's such a good place. Me and my friend went there for, like, Labor Day weekend earlier this year, not even for work. Just, like, because Charleston's awesome and we wanted to go there.
Yeah. It's great. You can't, like, throw a rock and not hit good food in any direction if you go there.
The weather doesn't suck at all. You know where I stayed when I was there for the RNC meeting? I stayed at this place called King Charles Inn.
I think I passed it.
Yeah, it's not part of a hotel chain. But it was awesome because it was like right downtown, like a block from everything. I think it was $110 a night, like something very reasonable. It had free parking, which is a big deal because most hotels in downtown Charleston are going to charge you like $15 for parking. Mm-hmm. Everyone was super nice. And it was like, wow, is this a cult or something? Like, am I gonna get skinned alive? This is like too good to be true. But I survived. Yeah, no, Charleston's the best.
So Betsy, what do you think that since last we talked, we've had a lot of candidates drop out. Like Iowa came and Martin O'Malley dropped out.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, exactly. Mike Huckabee dropped out. Rick Santorum took a day and dropped out. Rand Paul, who actually did better than I thought he would in Iowa, beating out Christie, Kasich, Bush, Fiorina, dropped out.
There's a winnowing.
There is a winnowing, and it is happening fast.
Yeah. Real quick.
And, you know, the faster this happens, candidates, the faster I can go home, exercise, shave, and be a little more cheerful. But, you know, no pressure. So, I mean, it's really starting to look like a four-way contest, or three-way contest between Ted Trump, who lost. We should talk about that, too.
A loser. And sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. He's a loser, you know. he lost. He, you know, I was talking to a bunch of Republicans yesterday about this, and they, you know, they said essentially, listen, for a guy who says winning is everything, losing does not look so good.
I know.
There's no way to spin that, right? There's no way to be like, you know, and it's not even like, I mean, the truth is it's not, it's hard for him to claim too that he didn't try because he had his entire family out in Iowa that day.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was not.
Of course he tried.
Yeah.
I know.
It was Eric and Donald Jr. and Ivanka and Melania were all out in Iowa. Melania in her very stylish, like, Park Avenue clothing.
She's wearing, like, a Darth Vader cape thing,
yeah,
you know? It looks like one of the Imperial Guard uniforms at the end of Return of the Jedi.
In, like, you know, farmland Iowa being, like, vote for Donald, you know?
This is such a good election. There's nothing about it that's not good.
It'll be, 2020 will be better because Kanye will run. I'm actually starting to hope he does. Just, I would love to, by the way, see a Kanye versus Donald Trump debate. I'm a genius. Stronger was very bad. It's for losers. Nobody listens
Low
to
ratings.
It. Nobody listens to it anymore. You know?
This country isn't worth saving.
We're going to get the president we deserve this cycle, okay?
I'm just like, I've just accepted that I'm just going to be sleep deprived and slap happy for the next 8 months.
Are you
and
ready
I'm just
for the,
peace with
but
it.
Wait, are you ready for the Wiz Khalifa think piece you're going to write about why he didn't run?
Stop that. Stop right now.
Yeah, so sleeping, not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Like a zombie.
We're talking about this being a three-man race.
Yeah.
So the emerging conventional wisdom is... Three-man race, Trump, Cruz, Rubio. Of course, there's the notion that Rubio needs a 3-2-1 finish. Third place in one early state, second place in another early state, first place in another early state. What's the other conventional wisdom that we have right now?
On Rubio or in general?
Just in general.
The other conventional wisdom is that Rubio has a slight burst in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Trump declines over time, and... Ted Cruz, like he wants to, comes roaring back through the SEC states, and there's just no way to come back. It comes down to those three, and Cruz, who's just got more wins up, notched up under his belt, can just claim more. You know? The conventional wisdom is that Cruz absorbs all the energetic voters and activists and operatives from these other campaigns who are anti-establishment.
Yeah.
And the establishment, because it hasn't been able to control anything, literally anything, they can't control debate. Like, piles on behind Rubio, and there's a big fight in the end. And that's it.
What do you think about that? You think that conventional is...
I don't know,
correct?
Betsy. I don't know. Like,
trying to think, like...
I think predictions by journalists are even worse this cycle than... I mean, they're even less valuable than... Like, I don't know. I didn't think Donald Trump would be
Nobody knows
front
anything.
Runner.
Yeah. We have no idea. Well, since we're not going
to
be making predictions...
I didn't mean to yell.
We're not
going to really
be making predictions, and this is a disorganized, sleep-deprived, high level of confusion episode of Blogging Heads. Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Okay.
Guys,
so,
I don't know today. I'm sorry.
Please send help. I was an eye for the caucuses. I'd never seen a caucus before. This is my first time.
Yeah, so I haven't seen one yet either. What is it like?
So cool. So first off, caucuses are bullshit. Like, the Iowa caucuses are total bullshit. It's such a dumb way. It's ridiculous that they are as globally important as they are. I talked to like this Drake University poli sci professor who was like, "Yeah, these are amateur basically party business meetings that are designed for low level party business stuff, and they've been elevated to this contest of global import, and they are not organized or structured in a way that they could hold up to that pressure," which is totally true, which is why, like, in 2012 you had that absurd recount, which is why you have the Des Moines Register saying right now that the Dem caucus results need to be revisited, because it's a shit show. But it's also really cool to watch. So, for people who don't know, the caucusing, there's two different ways of caucusing. How Republicans caucus is everybody writes down what candidate they want on a piece of paper and hands the pieces of papers in. How Democrats caucus is way more complicated. Everyone stands in like a big room or a small room if you don't have a big room, and then walks to different quarters of the room for what candidate they're with. So like each corner of the room, there might be like the O'Malley section and the Hillary section. Oh, it's totally insane. And the Bernie section, and everyone walks over there. That's why people wear all their candidate swag and try to jit up excitement. And in the first round of caucusing, so you have to get, I forget if it's 10 or 15%, but you have to get like a certain amount of people to caucus for you to count as viable. And there's the first round of caucusing, and if a candidate doesn't get like 10 or 15%, then that candidate's ruled not viable, and that candidate's supporters have to join another candidate's team. It's called realignment. So obviously all the Martin O'Malley supporters after the first round of caucusing were like, oh, okay, Martin O'Malley isn't viable. Are we going to join up with Bernie, or are we going to join up with Hillary? And then after a couple rounds of that or whatever, you have your final count, and you write down a piece of paper, and that's how you decide. It's literally like head counting, bean counting. Crazy. We're talking about like head counting hundreds of people. And the people who run caucuses are not election officials or professional employees or anything. Like, they're people from the precincts. They're like real Americans who might not necessarily know what's going on. So where I went, I just randomly picked a precinct that was about an hour away from Des Moines because I wanted to go to a college university. So I put in the address of a college dorm into one of those caucus finders, caucus location finders, which I hadn't realized, but was a smart thing to do, and which took me to an Iowa State University location. So this location was like a student union, right? Really big, beautiful old building, kind of looked like Hogwarts. And the building was so big that in it, there were actually five different precincts represented in five different rooms. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And two of these precincts, at least, Democratic precincts, were all college students. Like, only college students in these precincts. So the people running those precincts were also only college students, who obviously had no experience with caucuses because there hasn't been a competitive Democratic caucus since they've been, you know, since like before they even had driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got a little bit of training, but not a lot. And here's what I thought was crazy, is like this whole building was so packed. There were so many people, like jam-packed, lines out the front, lines all the way down to the street, and like obviously very cold Iowa winter weather. There are five different precincts, so it's just like chaos, everyone trying to get into their rooms, massive lines to register to vote because there's same day voter registration. One college student precinct in particular that I followed literally ran out of voter registration forms because so many people were registering to vote. So they had to be like, hey guys, we're sorry, it's going to take us a little while to get started. We have to go print off some more voter registration forms. We'll figure it out. Bonkers. In another all-college student precinct, they just like kept registering people for like 2 hours after the deadline to be in line to register to vote. Just like kept on doing it. Like I saw kids at 8:20 filling out their voter registration forms, which is not what you're supposed to be doing. Like you're not supposed to do that. And there's no adult supervision or like adult, college student adult, right? Like kids who don't know what's going on. At one point, one of the girls running that precinct was like, this is a hot mess. We don't really know what we're doing. Everyone's tired. Just stick with it and we'll figure it out. And I'm just sitting there like, you guys are picking the leader of the free world.
This is, and then there's the coin flip, right? A bunch of like.
But let me get to another thing. So in one of the all college precincts that was downstairs, the kids, like people say college students love Bernie, but until you see this, you don't realize how much college students love Bernie. College students fucking lose their shit over Bernie. Like, all these kids love Bernie. Like, here's the thing. So you know how to be viable, you have to get, I think it's 15% of the vote. In one of these precincts, Hillary Clinton wasn't viable. She got no delegate equivalents because it was like...
all the kids love Bernie.
All the kids. It was like 290 kids for Bernie and like less than 20 for Hillary.
It's funny, these college kids never assume that Bernie wants to take away all your like bells and whistles from your university to make it free. Well, they, you know, I think they all want free tuition more than the climbing walls.
Yeah, it's me. I know, which is like, who would have thunk? But in that precinct that went 100% for Bernie, the girl who was speaking for Bernie, because like at a caucus before caucusing starts, one person speaks for 2 minutes for each candidate. So there's a Bernie person who speaks for 2 minutes, a Hillary person, a O'Malley person, and like that's how you kick off voting. The girl who was speaking for Bernie repeatedly said he was from Virginia. She's like, Bernie Sanders, a great senator from Virginia, gonna be an awesome president. Feel the burn. Yeah, feel the burn.
A single tear fell down Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore's face.
Yeah, I know. It was totally nuts. And like, I have never seen anything quite so sad as this room of 20 Hillary supporters.
God.
Looking crestfallen. They were like, so guys, not enough people.
That was supposed to be their state. They're supposed to be like, oh, we're going to lose New Hampshire, but Iowa, we're safe.
I mean, it's like a bloodbath. It was totally wild. My takeaway was, first off, caucusing is really hard to do. Like, it's not like regular voting where you can vote before work or you can leave on your lunch break. It's so silly. Like, people complain about low voter turnout for caucuses in Iowa. Like, no shit, there's low voter turnout. Caucusing is hard to do. You have to get off work by like 6. So you can get to your precinct place by 6:30, and then they shut the doors. And then, depending on if it's college students running it, you might be there for 2 hours. It potentially in a small classroom with no ventilation that smells really, really bad. Some of these classrooms that were full of college students smelled so bad. Like, I couldn't stand in them for more than 30 seconds. Right. So it was all these gross, sweaty college students in really small quarters. If you're an hourly wage worker and you can't get time off work, too bad, don't get to caucus. If you're a parent and you can't afford to hire somebody to babysit your kids for like 2-3 hours, too bad, you don't get to caucus. If you don't have a car and you can't get to your precinct location, don't get to caucus. Like, it's like almost prohibitively difficult for normal people to participate in this process. Well, I mean, obviously a lot of them can, but it's really hard. And like, yeah, if you're voting for homecoming queen, sure, do caucusing. But we treat these contests like they're the gold standard.
Yeah, the fail-safe way marred by that new modern primary system, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't for the telephone, we'd still be using carrier pigeon like the founders intended.
I know. It's just like, I don't think that you can go to Iowa and watch the caucusing system and come away able to make a remotely coherent case for Iowa being first. I just don't think you can do it.
Well,
that is my analytical take.
This is a well said take, and I hope to see a caucus someday if I ever like.
Go to Nevada. Nevada has caucuses.
If I can ever get enough sleep and satisfy my editors enough, which I'm definitely trying to do. There's one thing I want to talk about, because up here I've been chasing Kasich and Bush a lot.
Cool.
Or not, Kasich and Christie.
Whoever. Doesn't matter.
So there's a bit of a mystery up here, and I want which is that Kasich has bagged 7 of the 8 big newspaper endorsements here. Republicans who like other candidates, grumble that most of those endorsements, and the Boston Globe, grumble that most of those endorsements are from liberal-leaning newspapers, right? Kasich has also gotten second in recent polling, and polling averages now have him up there. We have a story up today about how New Hampshire polling is unreliable. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. At Christie events are usually bigger than Kasich events. I don't know the lay of the land enough to really figure out if that is a symptom of just Christie's celebrity and where he's campaigning. But yeah. It is, I mean, and Christie has felt a precipitous dip in polling as of Friday. It's officially, I will declare that a New Hampshire surge for him. The surge is over. He had a bump. He had a moment and it ended. But yeah. I'm terrible at predictions. I'm not quite ready to say that Kasich has it in the bag. There is something about the size of these crowds that suggests to me that Christie might be doing better than polling suggests. They're still not Rubio level crowds, which are like massive.
The Rubio New Hampshire crowds are massive.
Yeah. Or the Trump crowds, but they're bigger than, I mean, it's 100 to 250.
And like by in the bag, we mean a second or third place finish.
In the bag, no. We mean like ahead of Bush or Kasich and maybe Rubio. No. Oh, God, no. Second or third. No.
We mean like double digits.
Yeah, we mean double
digits. The bar is so low.
The bar is so low.
So low. John Kasich, really impressed tonight. Bringing in 9.5% of the vote.
Kasich momentum. On to South
really,
Carolina.
He's really unifying the moderate lane.
I mean, he said yesterday that he said, you know who's really afraid of me? The establishment is really afraid of me.
The word establishment is not going to mean anything after this election.
It's going to be like, bad, is what it's going to mean.
It's not going to be a word we can use anymore.
No.
Hillary Clinton is like, how do you call me establishment? Like, get out! Delete your account.
Rebecca Berg at Real Clear Politics had a good story on how establishment is just a bad word now. Like, you don't want to be called establishment.
Right.
It used to be like, yeah, I'm establishment. I know D.C. And now it's like, no, I've never set foot in the District of Columbia. No.
I don't even know where it is. I couldn't even find it on a map. Who's Mitch McConnell? but it's true. It's like a synonym for bad person who's responsible for bad things.
Yeah, it's right. It is a synonym like for the word undesirable amnesty. Fellow.
It doesn't mean anything. I know.
Right. It's
another word, like a tiny star winking out, gone forever.
Can we just also talk about Hillary's insane answer the other night on like speeches from Goldman Sachs, and her response was, "They're not paying me that much now." I mean,
stop.
These are not questions that are out of left field, right?
No.
There have been reports about these things. I don't understand why Hillary's handlers are not like, let's go over this one now. I mean, they're just, these are not like, like Christie the other day was asked about bobcats or something. He was asked like killing preserving bobcats, and he was like, I don't know. I have no." And he realized. I mean, Christie's very smart about this. He was like, "It's not gonna matter. Don't take us. Like who knows?" But like these are questions that you should be prepared for. How this are you like, not prepared for an answer with like that?
It's Hillary's version of Jeb not being able to answer the Iraq war question.
Yeah.
Like, you know you're
right.
This
it was exactly.
You know it's
how,
a war.
How was Jeb not ready? Like, how are they every
how
night
do you not have
three
an
different,
answer to this?
Just like his like Danny Diaz, his campaign manager, being like, "All right, Jeb, for the next half hour, we're going to do what we do every night, which is go over iterations of this question. Just reassemble the words."
Right.
I don't understand how they, like, I don't know why this is getting me riled up, but, like, I don't get why these are questions that didn't come up.
Or the question about her releasing her speech transcripts.
Yeah, yeah,
she'd been asked that before.
Did she get asked that before?
Yeah, Lee Fong asked her, and it was, like, a little mini viral video of him being like, "Are you going to release your speech transcripts?" And she just laughs nervously and walks away. And, like, got a lot of play. And then last night at the debate, Chuck Todd's like, "Are you going to release your speech transcripts?" And she's like, "Whoa, never even thought about that. I don't know if I can do that. We'll look into it, maybe."
I mean, the fear is a 47% moment, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Well, dodging it doesn't make it better.
No.
It's going to happen.
Probably. It's like, you got to, I know.
It's going to happen. So just do it now. Just have your guys, just, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, when she says, "I don't know," that's going to attract more coverage, more attention, and then she's going to release it, and the damage will be done.
Yeah.
Right? So, wait, I want to go back to one thing with Kasich. So, at a Bloomberg breakfast the day that I was at, and we broke, that Rand Paul was dropping out in the middle of that, so I didn't end up writing anything on this. But Jonathan Martin, like, really pressed Kasich on this question, which is basically, you've been endorsed by the New York Times, the Boston Globe, and seven of these newspapers. How is that going to help you in a Republican primary in a year where conservatism is like the only, like, moderation is not at all desirable.
Right.
And John Sununu, one of Kasich's surrogates, stepped in, but Kasich was sort of like, listen, it's gonna help. Don't ask, are you gonna let me answer this question? Clearly flustered by this. What do you think? I mean, like, I don't know, a New York Times endorsement.
It's obviously not helpful. I mean, potentially in New Hampshire because so many independent voters vote, and theoretically, like, 4% of New Hampshire independents are genuinely independent and, like, go back and forth between parties.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of those people, if you're like, I'm either voting for Chris Christie or Hillary Clinton, and those voters exist, the New York Times endorsement could matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it matters in any state besides New Hampshire.
It's not going to help in South Carolina. It's not.
No.
What does he do? He goes into South Carolina being, say he wins the establishment primary. He places fourth or third.
Yeah.
And he goes in behind. That's where we're at. And he goes in saying, I'm the John Kasich from Ohio. I did pretty well in New Hampshire, did terribly in Iowa, was endorsed by the New York Times. Vote for me, South Carolinians.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, let's be real. Kasich's running for vice president.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's
Rubio's
doing.
Rubio's vice president. Is that it?
Yeah.
So not that would be, idea. I mean, like, I more and more I'm starting to believe about that as a ticket. I mean, if Rubio's supposed to be the Republican Obama, having a sort of older,
right. An experienced codger who's
prone to saying random things, sounds awful familiar.
Right, yeah. Totally. No, I agree.
And anytime, you know, in a general election like that, anytime Rubio would go too far and turn off people who like Obamacare, he could be like, but Kasich expanded Medicare. But
right.
He gets it anyway.
I know.
You know?
God told him to.
Yeah. What, anything else, Betsy? I'm going to get out here and not go.
I think I'm going to go chug some coffee. Do a couple jumping jacks.
Yeah, oh, that's the other thing. The most painful part of this. I like campaign report. I like being out on the trail, but there's no consistent way to exercise. I snuck in going to yoga once because it's good for you, okay? And I have a bad knee. But, like, there's no way. There's really no way to, like, you can't.
I mean, good for me. I don't exercise anyway,
okay.
So. That's what I recommend.
I just signed up for a triathlon again.
That's good.
Just wanted to drop that one in there.
Anyway. I just signed up for a triathlon. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It's not like triathlons are hard.
It'll be in D.C.
How many miles is running a triathlon?
Depends on the distance. I'm going to do the sprint again because I don't think I can do anything more, but it's a 3.1 mile run, half a mile swim, 10 mile bike ride.
Doesn't sound fun.
You know what it is? You know what the difference is? It's that after I did my first one last year, I was expecting this amazing high after I was finished, but I didn't get that immediately. But days later, I was like, man, I'm going to do that again. So it's a slow burn.
You know, I love hearing about your decision-making processes.
I love...
that's one of the fun things about blogging is for me.
I love hearing about your humorous adventures in politics. I keep thinking, like, why can't I have these whimsical, like, you know, visits there? You and Ben Terrace have, like, the skill. I mean, you just find the good stuff. The fun stuff. And I'm out here being like, establishment candidate, says establishment. Who's going to come in for? The nation is waiting with bated breath. Not.
On that note, I will let you get back to your John Kasich typing.
Chris
and I'm going to go drink some coffee.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time, Blogging Kids friends.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Blogging Heads TV. You can help support this content by remembering to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can subscribe to all Blogging Heads episodes or to a specific program by going to our subscribe page at bloggingheads.tv/subscribe. There you can sign up for podcast downloads via iTunes or Stitcher, or you can subscribe to our email and we'll send you an alert every time we post a new episode.